mention before we start. The first one is that after the service today, we will be having a collection for in aid of people in Pakistan and to help them during this dreadful flood. We have the technology to take card payments, but you will need to speak to a steward to get it on the right screen. But we can also take cash as well. So thank you for any donations you might care to make. Another notice that we'd like to draw your attention to is next Sunday, it is Catherine Hughes' welcome service in East Didsbury. A group of us are planning to go, and if you would like to go and to share lifts, please could you let one of us know so that we can arrange the lifts beforehand. On the 17th of September, we'll be having a coffee morning and a bulb planting session as part of our refurbishment of the gardens around church. We hope you'll join us and have coffee and also plant some bulbs. We're really hoping that it will rain before then so that the ground will be a bit softer. But do come and join us for coffee, if for nothing else. So thank you very much, and I think Ros is welcome now to start our service.
Thank you, Christine, and good morning. And I welcome you to this new Methodist year. We begin our new Methodist year in September, as you know, and we offer all that we are to God and see how God will use us in this place and in the wider community and across Great Britain as Methodists this year, along with our ecumenical partners, of course. So it's all sorts that we can look forward to as we ask God to lead us and inspire us and fill us with the Holy Spirit as we go forward into this year. I can see some people smile, but not everybody. Are we excited about this new year? No. Who is that? Yes, we are. Good. Corrected. Yeah. Doesn't mean there won't be problems along the way. We know there will be. But we know that God is with us. And so I welcome you also to this service of Holy Communion. And we hear our call to worship. As if this were the only time, and this the only place, and we the only people, Jesus Christ will meet us here. Let us worship God together. And we sing the splendor of the King.
Clothed in majesty.
And so let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Be with us today, with friend, with stranger, with young and old. Be with us today. Come close to us, that we may come close to you. Forgive us, that we may forgive one another. Renew us, so that where we have failed, we may begin again. Amen. And let us confess together. Holy God, maker of us all, have mercy upon us. Jesus Christ, servant of the poor, have mercy upon us. Holy Spirit, breath of life, have mercy upon us. Let us remember in silence our own faults and failings. And we say together, we confess to God and in the company of God's people that our lives and the life of the world are broken by our sin. May God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. Amen. And we pray a blessing over the offering. Lord God, we offer to you this day tokens of all the blessings that you shower upon us. We pray that you will accept those and use them to further your kingdom in this place, in this community. And we pray a blessing over those offerings that are to be sent to help with the disaster relief in Pakistan. We pray, Lord, that with those gifts, your love will surround the people there and those who are on the ground trying to help. We pray, Lord, that you will be with them, comfort them, and strengthen them. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now Jonathan will bring our reading to us this morning.
This morning's reading is from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, I am still with you. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jonathan. And now let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I wonder how that psalm made you feel as you were listening to Jonathan read it just now. We heard there, didn't we, that God has searched us. God knows when we sit or stand. God knows what we're thinking, that there is nowhere that we can go to get away from God, however high or however low we attempt. Even in total darkness, God can see us, and so on. How does that make you feel, honestly? Good? Good over there? Secure? Scary. Any other offers?
Loved and reassured.
A bit bewildered, yeah. There's all sorts of reactions that we can have to those words, aren't there, as we have heard. I wonder how the psalmist felt as he was writing it. I wonder what his context in his mind was at the time. Because it can sound all a bit big brotherish, can't it? As though we're under some kind of constant surveillance. And there has been the idea in the past, possibly from this passage, that God is watching us and watching us in order to catch us being bad, so that God can punish us and give us our just deserts. And certainly there was a trend during the last few centuries with many children being told to be good because God is watching you. I think they used to have samplers on bedroom walls sometimes, didn't they? God is watching you. You may have been told that at some point. But that is wrong, isn't it? Because even if God was watching us in order to catch us being bad, which God isn't, but even if God was, God wouldn't be doing so to punish us and give us our just deserts, because Jesus has paid the price for our sins already. God in Jesus took our punishment, our just deserts. So that's all sorted. So if God was watching us to punish us, then God would be wasting God's time. The punishment has been and gone. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So God isn't watching us. God is watching over us. The psalmist isn't writing a psalm of complaint that he can't escape from God. Rather, he is marveling at God's love and commitment to him. He's marveling that God knows him completely, that God is with him in every place, that God created him, that God desires to know him so well. We tend to have a very negative feeling towards anything that invades what we consider to be our privacy, don't we, these days, in our culture. Both my parents grew up in Liverpool. Hooray! Both my parents grew up in Liverpool, a large city. And as a family, we lived in various towns across Britain and Wales. And when I was about 10 years old, we moved from the large town of Nuneaton in the Midlands to a village in rural South Wales. It wasn't really even a village. It was more a string of houses along a lane, surrounded by farms and fields. The nearest town was really only a village. From our village, there were 2 buses a day into the town. But to get to the bus, you had to walk over 0.5 mile down a country lane to the main road. It was quite a culture shock to all of us. And one of the things that we found completely alien and difficult to get used to was that everyone knew your business. And not just that, but everyone expected to know your business. They didn't think it was being nosy at all. If they didn't know something and wanted to, they would just ask you straight out. It was the way it was there. There wasn't much that happened in that village or the nearby town that everyone didn't know about. And there wasn't very much that you did as a child that your parents didn't know about too. So coming from the relative anonymity of towns and cities and being quiet, private people, it all felt a bit much, a bit claustrophobic, until we began to get used to it. And then we began to appreciate it, because there is actually quite a lot of security in knowing and being known. So although you were, in a sense, being watched all of the time, or being noticed might be more accurate, at the same time, you were being watched out for too. And this, I think, is where the psalmist is coming from. He knows that God is watching over him. He is known thoroughly by God, right from his conception, through his childhood, adolescence, and adulthood, and then on until he awakes in eternity. All of that time, he is known and loved by God. Why would he ever want to try to escape from love and devotion such as that? And why would we? God sees us as we are and loves us nonetheless. But God also sees how we can be. God sees us covered by Christ and being transformed by the Holy Spirit into the likeness of Christ. Why would we want to be able to get away from a God who knows everything about us and loves us best in all the world, and who loved us so much that God's Son came to die for us? So this psalm isn't about Big Brother at all, but about a loving Father. We can know without a shadow of doubt that we have a God who is with us. A God who knows us and wants to be known by us. A God who watches over us in love, who is interested in who we are, how we feel. A God who is interested in when we sit or stand, in what we are thinking and planning and dreaming. A God who cries with us and laughs with us. A God who understands our fears and our hesitations. A God who delights in us. You are the apple of God's eye. A God who is completely involved with us and committed to us. A God who calls us by name and has our names engraved on the palm of his hands, not written there by accident, like when the print from a newspaper accidentally stains our skin, but carefully, deliberately engraved, so that we are never forgotten, never out of God's mind. You are fully known by God and fully loved by God. And this is the good news that you and I have to share, so that all people can know that love of God for themselves. Amen. And so we turn to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. O Lord, you have searched us and known us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You discern our thoughts from afar away. You search out our path and our lying down and are acquainted with all our ways. We praise you, O living God, for you know us completely and love us completely. You have created us good and holy, lending your image in the act of creation. Again and again we have fallen away, and you have brought us back with words of grace. We have hidden from the mystery of your presence, and you have found us again and again and repeated the call, "Follow me." You bring peace into the chaos we create. You bring hope into the webs of doubt we spin. You bring your Holy Spirit into the corners of our lives. Even before a word is on our tongues, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem us in behind and before and lay your hand upon us. We praise you, O living God, for you know us completely and love us completely. We pray for the world wrapped in your love, for the people and places dear to our hearts, and for the ones known only to yours. We pray for those who are cold, whether in body or in spirit. Bring the warmth only you can provide, and move us to share the warmth we can provide. We pray for those who are hungry, thirsty, grieving, or ill. Bring the comfort only you can provide, and help us to share the comfort we can provide. And this morning, Lord, we do hold before you the situation in Pakistan and the terrible floods that are happening there. We pray also for our government, as the new Prime Minister will be soon announced. We know there are lots of problems for that person and the cabinet to face. We pray, Lord, that you will give them strength and integrity in the decisions that they make. And we pray, Lord, that all parties will work together to help us through this difficult winter to come. We pray for Woodlands and our sisters and brothers who live there, who work there and who visit there. We pray your blessing upon each of them. And as the new school and university and college terms begin this coming week, we hold before you all teachers and school and university staff and pupils, especially those who are moving to a new school or away from home for the first time. We pray your blessing upon each one. We thank you for the calling that those who work in schools follow each day. We pray your strength to them. And within our own fellowship here, we remember particularly at this time Joyce, David, Sylvia, and Carol. And in the silence, we bring before you others who are known to you, or known to us, who we bring before you this morning. Hear our prayers, O living God, for you know us completely and love us completely. Convict us of the ways we support injustice through our action or inaction. And empower us to work for your reign of justice, peace, and dignity for all. Where can we go from your spirit, or where can we flee from your presence? If we take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead us, and your right hand shall hold us fast. We pray all our prayers in the name of the one who was love made flesh. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we continue in worship as we sing our communion hymn, Let Us Break Bread Together.
Please be seated. Among friends gathered round a table, Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, he took wine, and having given thanks for it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." So now, following Jesus' example, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, through which God will bless us. As Jesus offered thanks for the gifts of the earth, let us also celebrate God's goodness. We say together, "Blessed are you, O God, for you have brought bread from the earth. Blessed are you, O God, for you have created the fruit of the vine. In the beginning, you watered the earth that man and woman might have food and drink. You gave to your servant Sarah bread to strengthen her family on the journey. You called Moses and his people out of bondage and refreshed them with food in the wilderness. You gave Mary and Jesus their daily bread to share. And here, at your table, you offer us bread and wine for the journey to nourish us as your daughters and sons. So with all our sisters and brothers before us and beside us, we join in the song of your unending greatness. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hear us now, O Christ, and breathe your Spirit upon us and upon this bread and wine, that they may become for us your body, vibrant with your life, healing, renewing, and making us whole. And as the bread and wine which we now eat and drink are changed into us, may we be changed into you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, loving and caring the world. Amen. Look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine, the gift of God for the people of God. Many grains were gathered to make the bread. Many grapes were mixed to make the wine. So we who are many are one in Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you. And let us share with each other the wave of peace. So the table is now ready. The bread and wine are ready. It is the table of the company with Jesus and with those who love him. It is the table of sharing with the powerless of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come and share. You who have faith, much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been for some time. Come, for it is Christ who invites us to meet him here. Please come as you are directed. All are welcome at this table. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. And the body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ. And we stand to sing together. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but naught to me, save thou art. Join together in the closing responses. On our hearts and on our homes, the blessing of God. In our coming and our going, the peace of God. In our life and our believing, the love of God. At our end and new beginning, the arms of God to welcome us and bring us home. Amen. And we bless each other in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And please do stay for cups of tea and coffee and fellowship after this service as usual.